to tell you a little bit about who Brandify is, what I do. I'm a VP of product there. I've been with the company for about 2 years. The company's actually been around for 20 years. And they started out as a store locator company. So they would build the Find Your Nearest Trader Joe's part of the Trader Joe's website. In fact, they still do that today. You can look on their website and see that the store locator is powered by us. And that, in 1998, was the extent of local search. But as the Google Maps world started to grow and other sites like it that provided answers to local questions, directories and mapping experiences for consumers to find local businesses, my business and others like ours grew as well. And social media was something that we kind of slided over into, especially the kind of social media that occurs at a local level. So for us, our clientele is primarily multi-location brands, and that's a brand that has lots of store locations, so brick-and-mortar stores. And each of those brick-and-mortar stores has a digital footprint of some kind, usually represented by a brand website, and then at some point you can get to a store landing page, and those landing pages are optimized to compete for organic search, for keyword traffic, and so on. And then those stores are also represented, and more the consumer, you know, purchase journey happens on third-party properties like Google Maps and Apple Maps and Yelp and Foursquare and Bing. And as you start to list sites, it gets to be a pretty long list. So those are, you know, our primary responsibility is to make sure that our store clients can be found with accurate information that allows consumers to transact business with that store through all of those digital properties. But it just so happens that a side effect or an add-on feature that a lot of these online directories have begun to provide is consumer reviews. So just like Amazon reviews, just like eBay seller reviews, local stores have reviews, and if you're talking about a multi-location brand, they may have thousands of them split across various stores, split across various properties. And our job as a reputation management company, which is one of the functions that we provide for the brand, is to help them keep track of all that stuff and do something about it. So that's just a general introduction. I think that what I have to say is going to be relevant for anyone who gets, you know, user-generated content that that they need to figure out what to do with, that you may feel like you're always playing catch-up with, and what are some of the benefits of actually engaging with consumers at that level. Starting out, though, this very interesting article just came out this week in The New Yorker about this company based out of Finland called Happy or Not. Has anyone seen one of these terminals in an airport, or perhaps I believe they have them at the 49ers stadium now? Anybody seen one? Just a few people. Okay. I've personally never seen one, but I hear they have them. Someone was just telling me at the Seattle airport. They're very popular in Europe. Heathrow Airport in England has these kiosks. And it's a very simple idea, and I'm interested to see if it takes off. Essentially, the idea is that these standalone, wireless, battery-operated kiosks can be placed near the exit of a store, or if you're in a stadium, it might be near all the different vendors. They might have a different kiosk. And you can offer feedback about your service experience, your experience with that store, simply by tapping one of four buttons. I'm either very happy, fairly happy, kind of unhappy, or very unhappy. And if you read this article, I definitely recommend you look it up. Brands like the 49ers have been able to get thousands and thousands of data points in real time while a game's going on. They can find out where there's a vendor who's being rude and causing a lot of complaints, where there's a bathroom that needs attention. And it's pretty exciting. One of the things that is a real strong value proposition for a feedback source like this one is that you can get statistically significant numbers of consumers to respond and give you feedback because the friction is so low. All you have to do is tap a button. You don't have to give them an email address. You don't have to fill out a form. And so they tend to get, I think it says, 10 to 40% response rate. Amazing. That's amazing, right? So as we look toward the future of reputation management, I wonder if something like this is going to take over. The reality of what we deal with now is a lot messier. So this is kind of my thesis, and I'll go through some of these points and then get into the case study. Online consumer reviews, in contrast to simply tapping a button with Happy or Not, are undoubtedly very biased. There's a lot of research that says that online reviews tend to skew negative. Yelp reviews are, they're more negative ones than positive. They're influenced by strange factors like prices and the weather. If you had to guess, how do you think prices might influence reviews? Higher prices lead to positive, more positive reviews, because people have a tendency to assume that higher priced things are worth more. Somehow that leads to a bias to write more positive reviews. Whereas weather works in the opposite direction. Bad weather leads to bad reviews. They also follow principles of crowd mentality, so that Yelp has its own social ecosystem, and people are inclined to write in certain ways that might have a tendency to bias their opinion. But there's no other source out there that's going to give you such unfettered access to raw consumer opinion. People who do offer their opinions often do so at great length. They, you couldn't buy that kind of feedback. Hard to know what to do with it at first, but it's there for you if you can make use of it. Multi-location brands in particular, we believe, cannot afford to ignore consumer feedback, because even though it's local, even though it's siloed with these individual stores with their individual profiles, in aggregate, it creates a national impact, a regional and a national impact, which can have positive or very negative impacts on the brand. Review monitoring and response, which is the activity that we encourage brands to participate in, alerts you to issues that impact your bottom line, and often they do that when there's no other way of detecting that pattern. There would be no other source for this information in many cases, and I'll show you some examples of that. Review response campaigns can be shown to improve review volume and average rating. So there's actually a correlation effect that we've been able to detect with those activities. Some statistics may be familiar, maybe not. This survey was just updated for 2017. 97% of consumers read online reviews of local businesses now. In other words, just about everybody. That I can assume that most of you do as well. I know I do. 85% of people trust online reviews as much as personal recommendations. So there's a pretty high benchmark of authority and trust. We know there are fake reviews out there to some extent, but we've become pretty sophisticated at instinctively weeding out the real from the fake, or we have a certain tendency to trust, for instance, a store that has a lot of reviews, but they aren't all positive. There might be a few negative ones, but as long as they're mostly positive, I will then trust that brand. So there are some caveats as far as what trust means, but the trust is definitely there. This is an interesting part of this Bright Local survey. What is the minimum star rating a business must have in order for you to use them? And it turns out for 87% of consumers, you have to have 3 stars or higher. I think it's even more interesting for 9% of consumers, not an insignificant number, they say they won't do business with you unless you have a 5-star rating, which is nearly impossible to maintain. And yet there are people who take these reviews so seriously that it definitely is going to impact your bottom line if those survey results are true, and if you have negative reviews that you have no means of addressing. Now, you can't necessarily get negative reviews removed. That's not really the strategy that we recommend, unless they're inflammatory or violate the terms of service of a site, can be proven to be fake, placed there by your competitor. There are certain categories of review that you can request removal for. But for most reviews, it's not about getting them removed. It's about responding to them in a proactive way, in a way that ends up, changing the tide towards positive for you. Couple more statistics. 80% of Americans think smaller companies care more about service than large businesses. So for multi-location brands in particular, building trust is a challenge. We tend to think of brands as faceless and not caring about us. And it's interesting how at that local level, you can begin to kind of course correct and change that perception simply by providing authentic responses to real consumers. But there is that bias going into it. But on the other hand, 78% of consumers have changed their mind about an intended purchase due to poor service. So even if they're intending to do business with you, they may change their mind if the perception is that the service has been poor. It's a small sample set. So again, 10 to 30% for happy or not. As far as dissatisfied customers, it may be the case, as this study found, that only 4% of your dissatisfied customers are actually going to take the time to complain to you, to write a review or do some other action that represents their complaint. Many of them are silent. Many of them might never come back. So that sample size is important, maybe again slightly biased, but it's what we have. And there's another reason why it's important. It's because of the way negativity broadcasts itself and contributes to the brand image. So according to this statistic, news of bad service reaches twice as many ears as praise for good service. So moving into the case study for this restaurant chain, we happen to represent lots of restaurant chains whose names you would recognize. In this case, we're not mentioning their name, but they're a well-known brand, and one that that happens to be very heavily reviewed on lots of sites. The challenge to begin with, you know, this is actually a pretty, as typical a case study challenge statement as you could find. They're getting hundreds of reviews every day. They're happening, as I mentioned, across multiple platforms. Google has really taken off in terms of review volume in the past year and a half. They've actually overtaken Yelp in terms of total number of reviews for most of our brands, so they're a huge site. TripAdvisor coming online, suddenly that's become a really relevant site for restaurants to look at, even though they were known mostly for hotels. They turn out to have hundreds of reviews of restaurants. If you're walking into this, and especially so if you're an internal resource or an agency resource whose focus has mostly been on nationwide level social media engagement, dealing with reviews at the local level can seem quite overwhelming. No matter what your response plan may be, and maybe you don't have one, executing on that can be a challenge. How do you marshal those resources? How do you make sure on a daily basis, because this really is a day-to-day thing, new reviews appearing all the time, that you're staying on top of the need to monitor and respond to this content? In this case, the social team was overwhelmed, and they knew that customer issues were falling through the cracks. They just didn't know what to do about it. Here's a great example. Leaving complaints unanswered hurts your business. This is a real review for this business, and we've encountered these in our own lives, I'm sure. Horrible place, poor service, completely forgotten about. Had to remind them after 25 minutes we were waiting to be seated. Our food came out and it looked like it had been thrown together. Complained to the manager, she was rude, waitress was rude. I'll never come back here. I'd rather go to McDonald's or Taco Bell. Nothing against those brands. But in this particular case, this is a slightly higher end place, and that comparison was not one that they wanted to see. And here's this review sitting out there being broadcast, doing twice as much work as a positive review might in building that brand's image. It's unanswered. It's just sitting there. So it's actually more important than responding to this particular customer who had a bad experience that your response stands there as an answer that others will see, so that consumers will recognize when they're trying to make a decision about who to do business with that you're a brand that cares about customers who have bad experiences and you act to do something about that. It's overwhelming, but we approach the problem in a way that says this isn't information overload, it's filter failure. You need to provide the right filter in order to begin to make sense of the content that's coming in and approach it in a way that is efficient and you can actually do something proactive about it. So Brandify, among other services, provides a platform where you can manage reviews from lots of sources all in one place. We group them by location, we group them by site. We offer tools that allow you to tag reviews by subject matter. So if you're interested in tagging reviews that come from loyal brand fans or reviews that mention service issues, cleanliness, price, staff, rudeness, you can tag them in any number of ways and sort and export and figure out what those trends are historically, regionally, at a particular store, and so on. So surfacing those insights from reviews is an activity that our brands engage in on a daily basis. And then again, the response capabilities to be able to respond to reviews all from one platform is a huge gain in efficiency. We're able to do instant responses to Google and Facebook. Their APIs allow for that. And for Yelp, we've even added a secondary piece. It was inspired by another one of our brands who wanted to do this and brought the idea to us that you could enable Yelp's private messaging feature. And if the review is especially inflammatory or there's some reason why you want to take that conversation offline and make it a private conversation to try to resolve that customer's issue, you can interact with the customer through private messaging, hopefully resolve the issue, and then post a public response. We're so glad we could help you out with the problem that you were having. So with Yelp, we can get very granular with the conversation, but we provide the service across lots of sites. And we also offer campaign analytics that let you know how are you doing over time to improve things. The solution for this brand, we save time and resources responding to reviews through our dashboard versus logging into individual platforms, leveraged review response to turn negative sentiments and experiences into positive ones, reinforced positive reviews through response to create brand advocates, so building your fan base. This is an important point that we're following in Yelp's footsteps here. We're a Yelp knowledge partner, so we work very closely with Yelp on best practices for our own brands, and we also kind of reinforce each other in terms of education. And so one of the things that Yelp has said is that it's great to respond to negative reviews, and if you're in triage mode and limited resources, you should certainly do that. But it's even better to respond to even your positive reviews. The only thing is there's some nuance. You don't want to post the same robotic, repetitive response to every review. That makes it sound like you care less rather than more, that you're doing this through some crowdsource or low-paid solution or some robot is doing it for you. So you don't want to do that. You may even want to be careful not to respond to every single review because that also creates a kind of a robotic impression. But respond to lots of your reviews, both positive and negative, using authentic language, calling the customer by name, speaking directly to the issue that they're talking about. And if you do that with fans as well as detractors, it creates a more authentic voice, and it does help to make sure to reinforce the fan base that you already have and build that fan base. And then the review response team assisted the operations team at the brand with identifying areas of improvement via review analysis. So that's about that review tagging that I was talking about a minute ago. And in particular, we were interested to find out, what is it that causes you to really raise the alarm bell when this content shows up in a review? Well, they're very concerned about reports of foodborne illness. And you can imagine at a restaurant, people go home and then they say they feel sick, and you don't always hear about that. Well, reviews are a way to capture that information when there is no other way. That's where I was referring earlier to patterns that it's impossible to detect through any other source. So you may find out that a particular store, a particular menu item, whatever the case might be, has a foodborne illness problem that you need to address. And obviously that's the biggest alarm bell of all for this brand and any restaurant. But they also want to know when menu items or ingredients are reported as being out of stock. That's another operational change that they can make. And as they tally up instances of that, the same menu item is out of stock as a pattern at the same restaurant or across multiple restaurants, they can do something about it much more efficiently than any other way. Sentiment around, they wanted to look particularly at sentiments around their relatively new online ordering system, as well as delivery services like DoorDash and Grubhub. What are people feeling about those services? Should we continue to support them or promote them, or is there a way that we can work better with those services to provide better service to the end customer? And then, PR issues of any kind. Things can come up that have to do with, inflammatory language, as I was mentioning before. Not for this brand, but we've had instances where staff is being accused of being racist, for example. And that's something that the PR team certainly would want to be aware of, both to address any issue in the store and also to be aware of what the conversation might be online about that brand as a result. One particular example, there was a set of reviews that led the team to discover that there was a YouTube video out there where people were actually being asked to leave negative reviews for one particular restaurant location. And they were able to forward the issue to the PR team who were able to get the video taken down. So that's a specific example of a pattern that emerged from looking closely at reviews from a content level. So good news is that timeliness actually does make a difference, even with people who are complaining. 95% of unhappy customers might return if their issue is solved quickly and efficiently. And of course, we know that we want those return customers. They're 7 times more valuable than building a new customer, than acquiring a new one. This is something that we're obviously pretty proud of, and I just want to kind of pause and look at the actual text of these revised reviews. So this is 3 examples of reviews from Yelp for this brand. We've blocked out their name here, but these all started out as 1-star reviews. So these are cases where proactive, engaged, authentic response actually turned detractors into fans. So the first one on the left, this is an update from last visit. I decided to come back and give it another chance, as corporate was very nice and professional with the situation we had last time we visited this location. Well, this time around was so much better, a little longer wait, but the service was great, or server was great, food was delicious. It's a 4-star review now. And it's a real review about a real experience that was better as a result of coming back. So actual action to improve the situation, and it results in this. 1-star review becomes a 5-star review. I'm noticing a theme here with the online menus not posting prices. This makes it very frustrating when deciding on trying new things at new places. Edit. Since customer service responded within 24 hours of this review and showed me where I was wrong, initially the rating goes from 1-star to 5 stars. Kudos. Great customer service goes a long way. And finally, update. I have to say that Brand was good on their word and conducted themselves well and professionally to address my complaint and ensure that I was a satisfied customer. Hopefully my experience was a one-off and it won't be a regular occurrence. So that definitely affects my new rating, really meant to be 3.5 stars, but it looks like only whole stars are possible. So we only got them from 1 to 3, but still a significant improvement. And these are anecdotal. The trends are, not everybody actually updates their review as a result of responding, but the ones that do stand out and they make a difference. People will see these as well, and it will influence their impression of the brand. So doing this at scale is hard. One of the things we try to do is make it possible to remove as much friction as possible from the process so that those at the brand who are tasked to respond to reviews can focus most of their energy on providing real, authentic, meaningful responses and not with bookkeeping and busy work. So we do try to make the process as efficient as possible. By our estimation, in replying to 39,000 reviews over the course of the first year, we saved them through use of our platform a little over 1,000 hours in human labor without using a tool like ours. 1,000 hours equates to 6 months of a full-time employee, so it's a real dollars and cents savings. Over 100 round-trip flights from LA to NYC, driving around the world twice. So we try to put this in concrete terms. And again, that efficiency by itself is a huge gain, allows you to pay attention to the job at hand. So of the 39,000 reviews that the brand responded to in the first year, the mix was 16,000 positive, 23,000 negative. That partly is a reflection of the fact that because of their own concern about bandwidth, this was a new activity for them. They began, just as I said before, in triage mode, responding only to the negative reviews. But as they gained confidence over the course of the first year, they began bringing in positive reviews to the program as well. And by the end, you can see that their review response rates were climbing up quite high. So year over year, their response rate is now in the thousands of reviews every month. And the payoff is, for this brand, a 67% increase in positive reviews year over year. We're excited to see if we can repeat that stat. I know it's pretty huge, but for them, the impact was pretty obvious and measurable, that the growth in positive reviews as a result of people changing their review rating in the examples that we saw before, and also just generally creating a positive atmosphere where more positive reviews came out as a result, the increase was pretty significant for this brand. And then finally, something that we've kind of moved into just recently with this brand and others is a feature that we call Smart Review Response. So again, in the effort to try to figure out how to do this at scale in a really effective way, we began taking a look at machine learning tools that would be able to scale up the process, make it even faster and more efficient without removing that authenticity and personal voice. So that was kind of the challenge for us to try to strike that balance. But the tool works by training itself on a body of reviews and responses that we've produced over time that the brand has produced using our platform. We feed those responses into an artificial intelligence engine that's powered by Microsoft Azure. And what it does is it learns how to suggest the right response based on the topic of the review. So it does some natural language processing, some sentiment analysis. It looks at the review itself, and it assigns a topic. The topics are things like food, service, wait time, reservations, restrooms, to-go, that type of thing. Once it assigns a primary topic to the review, it does some sentiment analysis to determine whether, although the star rating might be one star, there might be a more granular version of the sentiment that we can get through actually looking at the language. So sentiment analysis looks at the actual phrases used and assigns a sentiment based on a score assessing the sentiment of the review. And then we suggest responses, 1, 2, 3, or 4 suggested responses per review that the user can cycle through and choose which one to use. They can customize, edit, change anything they want to. But the idea is that you've got the text in front of you, you can post it much more quickly, and also that over time, given what machine learning can do for you, the tool actually learns to suggest better responses the more you use it. You give feedback as to whether the responses are helpful or not, and it gets better and better at also making sure to differentiate between subtle differences in sentiment. And also, it's sort of built to make sure that you're not posting the same type of response to the same location, so we want to avoid that robotic feeling while still gaining the efficiency and the scalability that machine learning can really bring. So I think that's it for the presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
How would you suggest that the response strategy changes when there's a coordinated adversarial attack? An animal rights group, a labor rights group, something like that, where perhaps either they're coordinating the attack or they've done something that's initiated other people posting negative things.
So that's the kind of problem that escalates pretty highly at the brand level, and we don't try to make any decisions on our own, only recommendations. But what we would try to do in a situation like that is enable fast response across multiple locations as proactively as possible. So essentially, you're going to need to craft a strategy and then deploy it in lots of places at once and pay attention in lots of places at once. One of the things that we do that helps with things like that, we've never encountered anything quite like what you're describing, but in general, is that the platform alerts you when new content comes in that matches certain keywords that you might be looking for. And so we would really help you to make sure that kind of in real time, as that content is coming in, you're able to respond and do something about it. Now, there's obviously a line that you want to draw between working with the publisher to remove content that really doesn't belong there versus living with the publisher's guidelines, in which case really all that you can do is to provide a counter voice to that. And we encountered this specifically with Yelp, in fact, where you would think that reviews that contain certain profanity would be easy to flag for deletion. And it turns out that Yelp doesn't feel that way, that they actually believe that their reviewers can swear up to a certain point and that that's okay, and that helps to build that authentic voice in the community. And so our brands have argued that reviews should be removed, and Yelp has said no to that. So in some cases, you kind of have to live with what the publisher is willing to do and play nice within that environment as much as you can.
I saw on your slide, it showed a little tab for SEO. Could you talk about how your product helps brands SEO?
Yes. So SEO is a big topic for us, and the niche within SEO that we focus on is what's called local SEO. So we're trying to help our brands compete in organic search for searches with local intent, and also in, if you search for anything local in Google today, there is a something called the snack pack. Do you guys know what that is? It's like a little box of business listings that shows up with a map, and you can click through to go to maps.google.com. So that's the specific local real estate that we're also trying to compete for. And the consensus right now is that reviews are what's called a ranking factor. So in other words, the star rating, the volume of reviews, and the recency of your reviews is a factor that Google uses to determine, among other things, how highly your local listing should rank. And so building more reviews helps directly with SEO when it comes to that local listing, and indirectly it helps with your organic listing, which is kind of technical, but the website that you list within your Google listing is the one that you're probably also trying to optimize for SEO, whether it's your business website or the local landing page for that store. And there's a corollary effect where the ranking of one helps the ranking of the other. So Google reviews in particular even help your website to rank in organic more highly than they would otherwise. And then the one other thing about that is, I could kind of talk about this topic all day, but there's a special kind of markup that you can use. It's called schema.org markup that helps certain snippets of information show up in the Google search result. And one of the types of markup you can use is specifically for reviews. So if you do this right, Google indexes it right, you'll see stars show up in the search engine result, which if others, your competitors, don't have those, that will tend to create more click-through for your website. So lots of related strategies around reviews. It's a big SEO factor for sure. Yeah.
I know you mentioned that Google and Facebook have increasing review counts, for example, but how would you, you know, quantify Yelp's impact given the types of reviews that Yelp curates, and also just general commentary on the algorithms that each of these deploy in terms of which are closer to reality in your view?
Everybody thinks their algorithm is the best one. Yelp is probably the most active when it comes to trying to create authenticity through an algorithm. And so they believe that there are multiple trust factors that should impact whether a review is displayed or hidden from display. They have a section of reviews, maybe you've seen these, called not recommended reviews. You can kind of click through at the bottom of the page and get to them, but Yelp's not going to show them to you on the primary business profile. And reviews become not recommended because you write too many positive reviews, or you write too many negative reviews, or you write too many reviews of the same business, or you haven't written enough reviews for them to know whether they're going to trust you yet, and various other factors. And so that's debatable, whether that's a good practice or not. Google, Facebook, and others have a greater tendency to let more reviews into publication than Yelp does, so you get maybe a broader picture statistically and maybe even a broader base of opinion through those two sites, but Yelp does believe very strongly that what they're doing is the right thing. And, you know, they are fairly ubiquitous still. I mean, they have less of the primary search real estate, which is really owned today by, I would argue, Google and Apple Maps as a fairly close second. But Apple Maps republishes Yelp reviews. It's their only review source. Bing republishes Yelp reviews among some other sources, but about 95% of the reviews you see on Bing are actually coming from Yelp. So they're there, and they tend to play along with brands that might have a higher presence in some ways. But because they have such a strong body of deep content, that's really their competitive edge. But interestingly, if anybody cares about international, lots of other countries outside of the U.S., Yelp has very poor showing, and the site that dominates in those countries is TripAdvisor. So I actually feel like for restaurants, obviously hotels, but restaurants, and they have this whole category called attractions, which is actually a bunch of other kinds of stores as well that you might not think of when you think of TripAdvisor, but they're a real up-and-comer, I think, and one that their prominence is sort of suddenly growing and making a lot of brands sit up and pay attention.
Thank you, Damien.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.